From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Hear so as to be heard. The text is John chapter 15 and verse 7, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Note well that we must hear Jesus speak if we expect him to hear us speak. If we have no ear for Christ, he will have no ear for us. In proportion as we hear, we shall be heard. Moreover, what is heard must remain, must live in us, and must abide in our character as a force and a power. We must receive the truths which Jesus taught, the precepts which he issued, and the movements of his Spirit within us, or we shall have no power at the mercy seat. Suppose our Lord's words to be received and to abide in us, what a boundless field of privilege is opened up to us. We are to have our will in prayer because we have already surrendered our will to the Lord's command. Thus are Elijahs trained to handle the keys of heaven and lock or loose the clouds. One such man is worth 1,000 common Christians. Do we humbly desire to be intercessors for the church and the world, and like Luther, to be able to have what we will of the Lord? Then we must bow our ear to the voice of the Well-Beloved, and treasure up his words, and carefully obey them. He had need to hearken diligently, who would pray effectually. In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion of a message entitled Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. We find our text in the 7th verse of Romans chapter 1. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no secret that ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure and vice. And yet, even before Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. The Roman Christians proved their love for Christ in the fires of martyrdom during the persecutions of Nero. As Dr. Cairns has been demonstrating, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message which succeeds in rescuing sinners from the deepest of darkness and depraved conditions. Then Paul's words show that the gospel expresses the sovereign goodness of God in his immeasurable love for sinners. Finally, the gospel succeeds because it sustains and satisfies those whom it saves. Now here's Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel.
It was true of the Romans, as it was true of the Thessalonians, that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. It was true what was true of the Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. These were new people. They were saints, where before they'd been sinners. You even take the church of Corinth, and how often we lament the wickedness and the sin that seeped back into the church in Corinth. I don't want to make any excuses for them. But remember what I've just said. They were reared with the belief and the practice that every sin was an act of devotion to a God. That's how they were raised. And Satan tripped some of them up and hauled them back into their sin. But what did Paul respond with? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That is what's called a periphrastic description of the vilest sexual perversion of the Sodomites. As Paul wrote it, it was actually very, very vivid language. Paul did not pull his punches as he described the filth of the Sodomites. And he says, Neither they, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now that wasn't only true of Corinth, that was true of Rome. In due time we'll get down to Romans 1 verse 22 to 32. And when you look at that, where you've got the threefold statement that God gave them up because of their idolatry, because of their immorality, because of their impenitence, God gave them up. You look at the city of Rome, and it was just as bad as Corinth. And yet against this background of vice, the gospel came and truly sanctified the lives of believers. I haven't time to follow that through much tonight, except to say this to you. It's always the work of God through the gospel to make sinners into saints. What does he do? He unites believers with Christ. He indwells those believers with the Holy Spirit. He gives them a new heart, a new mind, a new will. He gives them a new desire. He gives them a new ability that they never had before to conform to his holy law and will. In the midst of universal degradation, the gospel shines with light and power to make man holy. That's why Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation. There's none too sinful. There's none too degraded. There's none hopeless. This is the confidence Paul had in the gospel. He's saying to these people, look, this is a glorious message. This is a powerful message. This is the message for the world. Your own life tells you it. God has the power to make big sinners into great saints. Men and women, we need that confidence again today. America is sinking in an ocean of paganism. Paganism is plastered before our eyes at every step and every turn. There are official pagan churches, pagan societies. With paganism always comes superstition. You can't turn anywhere today but you hear some person or other saying, "I'm not religious, but I'm deeply into spirituality." That spirituality is always pagan superstition. With pagan superstition comes pagan immorality, viciousness, wickedness, unspeakable uncleanness. This nation is going down deeper and faster than Imperial Rome ever went. And it's going for the same reasons, choking on the vomit of its own indulgence and its own selling out to the wickedness and the viciousness of paganism. That's what's happening. What's the answer? I will be very honest with you. I do not know where we are in the program of God's prophetic scheme. And anybody else who tells you he does know is either a lunatic or he's pulling your leg. I don't know where we are. But I want to tell you, though I have no idea if there is any hope, maybe I'm a pessimist, I really can't see in Scripture any hope for the institutions that we call states, whether they be the United States or the United Kingdom or the states of Europe. But I do say this, if my reading of Revelation 7 is right, no matter what is happening on a state, God has millions upon millions upon millions of sinners to save and souls to conquer. And that he will do. We need the confidence to take the gospel to a pagan world. Final word. Paul could look at these people and say, "You know the gospel succeeds. You're its testimony. Because you know it sustains and it satisfies those whom it saves." He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." It's both a prayer and a benediction, a statement of fact and of promise. Really saying the same thing as Philippians 1 verse 6, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. The word is completed until the day of Jesus Christ. He says grace, that's God's favor. Peace, that's the enjoyment of everything that grace brings. And it's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, and I think this is a beautiful picture, God and his Son stand pledged to make the gospel effective and successful in every believer. You will note in passing, by the way, that Paul looked on God the Father and God the Son as co-equal. This would be blasphemy if he did not believe in the deity of Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of the deity of Christ. And his idea is, brethren, hell and earth may oppose God's people, but God is their Father. Jesus Christ is their supreme ruler. And Father and Son stand pledged to give all the grace that we need to stand for him. What a benediction. I leave you with it tonight. Grace to you. Let me ask you, Are you beloved of God? Are you among God's darlings? Are you called of God? Are you being sanctified by the Spirit of God? Listen then. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, brethren, live in the light of the gospel. Live in the light of these truths. God is your Father. Why on earth do we go through life living like orphans? God is our Father. Why do we go through life as victims of circumstances or of the devil? Jesus Christ is our Lord. The Father and Son have made every provision that we need. As Peter says, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Take this truth. Paul says, look, this is your testimony. You know it. If you're saved, you know that what I've said tonight is your own personal testimony, your trophies and testimonies of the gospel of grace. You know that this free justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ is not, as critics say, a license to sin. It's not the enemy of good works. It's the enemy of sin. It's the enemy of Satan. It's the fount from which all true virtue will flow in a Christian's life. It's the only message that can satisfy you. It's the only message that can sustain you. It's the only message that can give you confidence to go out and witness. It's the only message for a world that's sunk in sin. So take this gospel. Learn all you can about it. Live it to the full. And then let it be heard to the ends of the earth. For never forget, there's only one gospel. And it alone. I know that this is not popular in this inclusivist age. But it alone is the powerful and the glorious message of the one true and living God for the salvation of sinners of every kind and in every place. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless the word of God to all our hearts. How we thank you for a testimony. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so free. Lord, we would give thee the praise of our heart. We ask thee that thou wilt give us grace with confidence in the gospel of God to go out and tell a lost world of Christ. And, oh Lord, we pray that others may be able to see in us, as Paul was able to see in the Christians in Rome, the power of the gospel. May even the ungodly, as Jesus prayed in John 17, may even the world know that we are beloved of God, that thou hast loved us as thou hast loved him. Hear our cry. Now part us with thy blessing, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Eternal Spirit, be the abiding portion of thy blood-bought church tonight and evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.